So tonight we're going to talk about intercession, and we're going to talk about intercession from the term, from the point of view of what it really truly means to intercede. Now, because of the hour, because of the time, I'm going to have to hurry a little bit of this up, so we may have to come back to it again, but this is going to be a continual learning place. We're going to talk about intercession as a meeting, and then we're going to talk about intercession as enforcement. Some things in your life haven't changed, not because the word of God doesn't apply to your situation, but because you haven't enforced it. It's just because you haven't enforced it. All right? But I want you to watch this. Watch this video. I want you to know this. I know you love the movie. I love the movie too. I just like this, the whole battle scene. I'm like, yeah, chop his head off. Chronicles of Narnia, that scene that you just saw is a picture of intercession. The Hebrew word for intercession is pega. It's one of the Hebrew words for intercession, but pega in language is connected to, what it literally means is to meet. And it does not mean to meet like, hey, how you doing? What's going on? Yeah, good to meet you. It means to meet on the field of battle. So where two opposing forces meet and collide, that is pega. So here's what the Bible says concerning pega in the sense of intercessory prayer. Isaiah chapter 53, starting verse 12 says, therefore I will divide, this is talking about Jesus, therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death. We know Jesus did that, but check this out. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sins of many and made intercession for the transgressors. That word right there, intercession, literally means, is pega. It means to meet. So the cross is a picture of intercession, not on a fuzzy-wuzzy kind of term, but in a violent term. When Jesus died his death on the cross, what he did was he nullified all of hell's claim on you, and he went and stood face to face with the forces of darkness and said, you can't have them. That meeting is pega. That meeting is pega. That's what you do when you intercede. When you pray for someone else, it's not a last ditch resort. It's your first line of battle. There's power. That's why James can say it makes tremendous power available to you. Because the forces of darkness are pushed back by prayer. What happens when there is no one to pray? If I can get this thing, let my shirt go. Isaiah 59, starting in the B clause of verse 15, says this. Then the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no justice. He saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. So what did he do? Therefore, his own arm brought forth salvation, and his own righteousness is sustained. It sustained him. Speaking of Jesus. That's why it's important that your fire never go out. Because sometimes you're the only thing that stands between someone and destruction. And that doesn't mean that you go out and try to get the victory. That the victory has already been won for you. It means that you enforce it. You arrange a face-to-face meeting between the forces of darkness and the forces of light. Now, this may be freaking some of y'all out. Are y'all still with me or y'all done went to La La Land? Jesus was made manifest for the purpose of intercession. The manifestation of the love of God that we talk about is an act of interceding. What Jesus did broke the legal right of Satan to afflict you with anything. Satan no longer has a legal right to afflict you with anything. Now, go. I know you're in Romans, but we're going to jump around a little bit. Go to 1 John. Satan no longer has a legal right to afflict you with anything because the sole purpose of Jesus' act on the cross was so that Satan had no right to you. So here's the deal. Here's how you get saved. You're saved by grace through faith, right? So Jesus' death, you accept it on the cross. When you accept his death, what you are accepting is a legal standing in the kingdom of heaven. I accept that I am a child of God. I have a legal right to be named in his bloodline. So when someone passes away and there's a will left, that's why they adjudicate that thing in court, because they want to know whether or not you have a legal right to take what it is that the person who died had. Are you with me? You getting that? Okay, so since it's a legal issue, there has to be a legal right for a legal breaking. Sickness in your body is illegal. It's not so much that it just, oh, God loves you and he doesn't want you to be sick. That is true, but he went beyond that. He went to the point to where he said, you know what? It's illegal for you to put your hand on them. Now, 1 John, what did I tell you, chapter 3? You didn't tell me chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, start reading at verse 8.
Where do I stop?
I don't know when we feel like stopping.
But when people keep on sinning, it shows that they belong to the devil, who has been sinning since the beginning. But the Son of God came to destroy the works of the devil.
Stop right there. The Son of God came to destroy the works of the devil. I'm going to let that sink in for a second. What is it that keeps you out of the kingdom of heaven? The work of the devil. What is it that keeps you in a place of not reaping victory? The work of the devil. Jesus' purpose was to do what? Destroy the work of the devil. Now, I want you to know that that Greek word, the word there that says destroy, is a Greek word. It's the word is luo, and that's a legal term. And it literally means to break something that was binding. Outside of Jesus, your sin made it so that Satan could legally put his hand on you. But with the intercession of Jesus, he can legally no longer touch you because the contract has been broken. You getting this? So when I buy a car, I enter into a legal contract to pay for that car. And once it's paid for, guess whose it is? Mine. I got a legal document betwixt me and the state of Texas what say that that's my car. And ain't nothing you can do to take my car. Not legally, at least. You go to jail for grand theft auto.
Oh, yeah.
Satan cannot legally put his hand on you in any way. Now, here's what I know about that. In the Old West, it was illegal to commit murder. But the problem was, is that just because it was federally illegal to commit murder, there were these little towns that didn't have a sheriff. And so it was vigilante law. You stole my bale of hay, I'm gonna bust your brains out. Because there was no one to adjudicate the legality of murder. Have you ever heard somebody say it's only illegal if you get caught? It's sad. Kind of true, right? If there's nobody enforcing it, if there's nobody to say there's a consequence for your illegal action, then whatever is illegal, it can be illegal all day long, but it will still stand as long as nobody is speaking for it. That's why God can say, I was looking for a man who would stand in the gap. I was looking for someone who would stand up and say, this is illegal. But since I found nobody, my hands were tied. God's a just God, and he will repay justly. But his grace and his mercies are new every morning. And he's looking for someone who will say, this is illegal. Yeah. It's not because I don't think you ought to be sick. It's not because you don't deserve to be sick. It's not because you don't, you look too cute to be sick. Your makeup get all jacked up when you got a cold and all the snot be taking away your foundation. I mean, it's not because you can't take a good picture when you're sick. It's not because your mama love you. And no, it's because it's illegal for you to be sick. There's a contract in the heavenly realms that says that they will, that says he bore your sins and your transgressions, by his stripes you were healed. The contract has already been written up. The only issue is there very few people enforcing the contract? There are very few people enforcing the contract. We go praying like this, Lord, please heal my body. I can't even breathe out my right nostril, Jesus. Every time I open my eye good, I feel like I'm going to tear my eyelids off because they swole shut. Lord, please help me, Jesus. Please. No. 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 God, your word said that the devil should not ever be able to put his hands on my body. And since he's trying, I'm going to represent you. I'm going to represent you. And I'm going to look him in his face and say, this is illegal what you're doing. And my daddy is the enforcer. So since you put your hands on me if you want to, and I'll cast you and every other little sick devil that came with you back into the lake of fire. Oh, and by the way, you put your hand on her and we'll do the same thing. You put your hand on him and we'll do the same thing. You put your hand on him and we'll do the same thing. You bring Ebola in and we're going to send you and all the other devils screaming to the other. Hey. 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 Just saying. Just saying. Here's how you, but you have to move into a place of enforcing through intercession. So you have a friend that comes to you and says, I've been sick. Will you pray for me? You don't start off going, oh, that's sad. That's terrible. Look at you. You nasty. Oh, my gosh. How long you been dealing with that? You're not dismayed by it. It's illegal. And so you begin to enforce the legality of healing. You begin to enforce the legality of mental wholeness. Go to 2 Corinthians. You begin to enforce the legality of what God already bought for you. Now, here's the deal. How do you enforce it? I done seen some people get into some serious stuff trying to enforce some stuff. That just, it just, look, I believe in violent prayer. And I've seen violent prayer done right. There is a such thing as travail. I don't have time to do that tonight. There is a such thing as travail. There is a such thing as going into a deep place of prayer and literally deep calling to deep. Jesus manifested in the Garden of Gethsemane. It says he was praying and he began to sweat blood. Medical science will tell you that when you begin to sweat blood, you're close to death because your capillary. Well, I ain't got time to teach all that. Go to 2 Corinthians. And you're going to look at chapter 5. And I want you to start reading at verse 18. And I want you to stop at verse 21. But I want you to humor me and do it out of my Bible. There's just a word I want to camp out on. Start at 18 and go to 21. Listen to this.
Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the world of reconciliation. Now then, we are the ambassadors of Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him.
So you are the righteousness of God. And as the righteousness of God, you take on God's character. But I want you to understand something. Give me verse 20 in the Amplified. Listen to this.
So we are Christ's ambassadors, God making his appeal, as it were, through us. He, as Christ's personal representatives.
As his personal what? Say it again. As his personal what?
As Christ's personal representatives.
As his what?
Personal representatives.
What kind of representative?
Personal.
His personal representative. You walk in the same power of Jesus. That's why the Bible can say stuff like, the same spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also quicken your mortal body. You walk in the same power on the earth as Jesus because you are his personal representative. Get this. The word representative has two words in it. Re-present. Re-present. So someone is presented in court, but the lawyer represents them on a legal ground. Huh. So Jesus did a work on the cross of intercession for you. He bore your transgressions. He got your healing. He got your prosperity. He got your mental stability. He got all that stuff on the cross. When Satan brings it up to you that you are afflicted, what do? You re-present what happened on the cross. Huh. What does that mean? That means that if I'm praying for this brother right here, I can re-present to the kingdom of darkness his case. And so you create that pega, that pushback, that meeting between the forces of dark and the forces of light. Father, in the name of Jesus, I come to you on behalf of my brother. Sorry, I had to make sure you were you. Matthew. And God, whatever it is that is afflicting him right now, I represent what happened on the cross on his behalf. And I'm praying that the enemy, the forces of darkness, be pushed back by the force of light that you have already delivered to him on his behalf. Let me tell you something. It works. I'm going to tell you how you know it works, 1440. It works for you. How many of you remember praying for somebody named Jonathan Santos? Anybody remember him?
Yes.
Kid who was diagnosed with lung cancer. Remember that?
Yeah.
Jonathan is what, 13? 14? 14? 14? He's 14 years old, diagnosed with lung cancer. Nobody should be diagnosed with lung cancer. But for Satan to put his hand on a 14-year-old diagnosed with lung cancer is absolutely unacceptable. It's unacceptable, period. But there's a certain amount of anger that happens in my spirit when the enemy thinks he can come and take the next generation. You prayed. Do you remember praying? Well, the way that the doctors found that Jonathan had, I love that word. The way that the doctors found that Jonathan had lung cancer was that he had a certain virus in his bloodstream that would only show up if you have an active tumor in your lungs. And so he goes in for treatment and they give him a test. This is after his first test, his first treatment, his second treatment. He goes in and they give him a test and they say, we can't find the virus that we found initially to tell that you had lung cancer. We don't even know. There should be some trace of it, but there's no trace of it. We can't even find a trace of it. So what you did, 1440, is you represented him. You represented Jesus. You looked at cancer and you said, I'm representing the work that's done on the cross. And I say you have no place in his body. You have no place. And let me tell you what else happened. So since they couldn't find the virus, they said, we should give you an MRI. He got an MRI. Takes several weeks to get it back. He's back in the hospital, scheduled for chemo. Goes in, they look at his MRI. They show him the first MRI. Say, see all this dark stuff right here? That's your lungs, all these spots. They show him the second MRI and it's white. It's clear. Remember when I told you on Facebook I had an announcement? That's enough of an announcement to let you know that your intercession is working. Your intercession is working. You have already stared cancer down. You have already skipped. You've already looked cancer in the eye. Nothing is too hard for God. So what did you do? You represented what the cross did. We didn't hocus pocus. We didn't shake him. We didn't throw him on the ground. We didn't do anything. We just said, Lord, he is healed because of what you did on the cross, and what he's going through is illegal. Now the boy is looking at a film that is bright, shining, where there was one with a lot of dark indicating cancer. And this is what he said to me. He said, when I saw that x-ray, I remembered you preaching about the face of Moses and how it shined, because that's what my x-ray was doing. It was shining like it had been looking at God. Come here. What you did was you said, we come to you on behalf of Jonathan Santos, and here he is, look in his face and you'll be just like him. Look in his face. And you'll be just like him. And Jonathan said, okay, I'm going to look in his face. I'm just going to look in his face. I'm going to look in his face and I'm going to be. And lo and behold, he's got the lungs of God. Have a seat. Now, I know that it's hard to entertain this generation. But if that don't make you excited, then you need to go home. I'm sorry. You need to do something different. How many of you prayed that we would see cancer defeated? Congratulations. Your steadfastness has paid off. So what is the act of intercession? It's the act of enforcing, of meeting with the forces of darkness and enforcing your legal right to stand your ground and see God work on your behalf and on the behalf of the people who you're standing in the gap for. Y'all, I'm not doing this just to excite you. I'm letting you know that this is real. This is real, and the world will go out of its way to convince you that this is all just hype and pomp and circumstance, and that none of this stuff matters, that none of this stuff is real. But I'm telling you, when you are that young man laying in the bed who had lung cancer and was looking at his whole life in front of his eyes, and he could have got caught up in fear, but he said, no, I'm going to take a faith stand, and you took a faith stand with him, you stared down the enemy and won. The enemy can only stand as long as you refuse to stand against him. But when you stand against him, light shines in the darkness. And what does darkness do? It has to flee. So service is out, and some of y'all's mama's going to be mad at me. But I figured victory over death is worth just about 10 more minutes. Amen?
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
I like you. So here's the deal. Here's the deal. If cancer's not too hard for God, how does he feel about what you're dealing with? If cancer's not too hard for him, then what does he think about what you're going through? His hand is not slack as some men count slackness. He's not asleep, young person. When you get into a place and you begin to intercede from a place of may the fire on my altar never burn out, you don't know what you're doing in the spirit realm. But it begins to manifest itself in the flesh. And you begin to have people walking around going, I was sick, but there was, I don't know who prayed in the atmosphere, but somebody put it up there and I ain't sick no more. Father, that the eyes of their spirit may be open. God, that we would see things from your point of view, that we would hear with your ears, and that we would walk in supernatural. God, thank you for Jonathan Santos. Thank you for healing. Thank you for deliverance. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you. We give you honor. We give you glory. We praise your holy name. You're worthy. And you are the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And you will forever be healing. You'll forever be healing. You'll forever be healing. And everything, 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 everything that affects your people is taken care of right now, in the now. Our faith is now. And I speak concerning you, and I say that if you are on the fence, you're not on the fence anymore. Choose today who you will serve. If Baal is God, if the world is God, then serve them. But the world looks at cancer and gives cancer a life expectancy. Your God answers by fire and says, I will burn it. Stand at your feet. If you're new here, or if you're not new here, I want you to know one thing about 1440. 1440 is a place where prayers are answered. I don't want you to hear me wrong. This is not the only place a prayer can be answered. But as for me and my house, this happens to be my house, we serve a God that answers by fire. We serve a God that leaves no residue. We serve a God that says that you can walk through the fiery furnace that's heated 10 times over and come out not even smelling like smoke. And it was your faith that did it. It was your faith that did it. It was your faith that did it. So you can walk around with your head held high saying, I got the kind of faith that gets rid of lung cancer. Yeah. I don't know what your faith can do, but my faith can get rid. My faith shots doctors. They have them. That's the kind of faith that you walk in. Amen. So right now, I bless you in the name of Jesus. I say that you are a mighty generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. This is not your home. You are of the kingdom of heaven. And as he is in heaven, so are you manifest in the earth. You walk in power. You walk in an anointing that the earth has never seen. And you will go forth and you will crush the head of the enemy. The enemy is afraid concerning you. Hell trembles concerning you because you know who your God is and you know the kind of anointing and the power that you walk in. And so you bring that anointing with you on Sunday morning. Amen?
Amen.
You're dismissed.